Apple have just announced updates to the iPad lineup, including a new iPad Pro and a new iPad Air. So in this week's podcast, I'm going to talk about the iPad, the history, the past, the present, and the future of iPad and tablet computing. Hello, my name is Pete. This is the Studio Live Today podcast where my goal is to help you create, record, and release your best music. And ever since I started this channel in 2016, the iPad has been a pivotal part of that because I wanted to learn how to create, record, and release my best music using my iPhone and my iPad. So it made sense that I would start sharing that information as I learned it with you. And that's where Studio Live Today was born from. But the history of the iPad goes back way longer than that. In fact, way before 2010 when the first one was released. And yes, it was only 14 years ago. It kind of feels a bit strange, doesn't it, to think we've only had iPads in our world for 14 years. And I'll talk a little bit about the reaction at the time and what I thought when it was first announced. Yes, I made all the jokes with everyone else at the time, but it's obviously proven to become a very popular device with all people of all ages. Considering that my children were using iPads when they were one, and my parents are using iPads in their mid to late 70s, I think you can basically say iPad wins. But where did it all come out of? That's what we're going to talk about here. Head over to studiolivetoday.com if you want to learn more about me and what we do around this channel. And if you were watching on the video version, hit the thumbs up button. If you're on the audio version, a review or a rating would be wonderful. So we can't talk about iPads without talking about Steve Jobs and Apple and the Newton. Yes, the Newton Message Pad. So I've got a quote here from Steve Jobs that I thought was pretty interesting. It says that Apple co-founder Steve Jobs said in a 1983 speech, what we want to do is we want to put an incredibly great computer in a book that you can carry around with you and learn how to use in 20 minutes. And we really want to do it with a radio link in it so you don't have to hook up anything and you're in communication with all these larger databases and other computers. Now, yes, that was a 1983 way of putting it. Obviously, didn't have Wi-Fi or wireless, and we're talking about information and databases. The thought that you could have at your fingertips video and audio and interactive games and programs, that was a long way off, wasn't it? But it was him foreshadowing the fact that he was really saying we need to have a notebook. Like, remember the Inspector Gadget where Penny had that notebook? I'll get my notebook. She had the first notebook computer. Where are my Inspector Gadget fans at? Yeah, deep cut there. So when the Newton was announced, the Newton Message Pad came out, people thought, ah, this is interesting. Apple are making a pad. And, you know, PDAs were sort of around then, but nothing that had, like, this handwriting recognition and the touchscreen with the stylus and everything. And unfortunately, it bombed. There were some big fans of the Newton Message Pad and, you know, the old Eat Up Martha joke from The Simpsons, from our Simpsons fans. A lot of animation references on this week's show. So it really didn't capture the imagination of the world. People were like, why would I use this? It's not really going to get the work done that I need to. It was monochrome. It was kind of clunky. It was expensive. It was cool. The concept was there. So they went away after that. That was right back in the early and mid-90s. And it wasn't until 2010, when we'd already had the iPhone for a while, that the concept of the iPad was announced. And yeah, as I mentioned, I was right there with everyone else. I'd only just been convinced to move from a smartphone with a keyboard. I didn't use a BlackBerry, but I used Nokia mostly, the Nokia E61 and then the E71 with the little keyboards. I loved my Nokias. Before that, I used a Palm Trio. Yeah, handspring, Palm Trios. Anyone use those? Very cool stuff. I loved it because I loved having a QWERTY keyboard. And I'd only just kind of been convinced. My wife got an iPhone 3GS and I had an iPhone 4S. That was my first iPhone. But the idea of a tablet, of having this big chungus tablet that you'd carry around and not even using a stylus but using your finger on this screen, it didn't compute. And yes, we're going to call it the iPad and insert sanitary napkin joke here, and I'm sure I did back in 2010 because I was a very unfunny human. But yeah, lo and behold, the iPad was launched, and that first version of the iPad just kind of took off. And from there, we've had the iPad 2nd, 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th generation. But wait, that doesn't mean we've had 10 different iPads. In fact, we've had more than 20 iPads. If you count the different varieties, or if you even include sizes, it's up around 30 iPads. It's actually really difficult to keep track. I used to do an iPad guide that had every iPad ever released on it. I kind of gave up because Apple have changed it. They've added new models. The iPad Air came out. The iPad Mini came out. We got the vanilla iPad. We've got the iPad Pro in two different sizes. It's become a little bit confusing. So when Apple announced this new refresh of iPads, did it do good? Did it make things simpler? Or is it a little bit more complex now? Well, we are going to dive into that. We are going to talk about what's new and what Apple are at now with the iPad Pro, the iPad Air, and the iPad Mini. But I'm going to take a little walk down memory lane. For those that are on the audio version, you're not going to see this, obviously. If you'll jump over to the video version, it'll be linked in the show notes here, or just head over to studiolivetoday.com, or check out Studio Live Today on the YouTube. But here is... Now, this isn't my original iPad. I first got the iPad 2. This is the iPad 4th generation. Why? Because my iPad 2nd gen was stolen. Yes, someone out there has my original iPad 2nd generation, the first iPad I owned that I bought in 2011 or 2012. So, you suck. Person who broke into my house and stole my iPad, just calling you out. You suck, if you're watching. But this is my... replacement. A lot of us had these cases. You're probably with me on this one. And you can see, if you're looking at the video version, the cracked screen, because of course it had a cracked screen. And did it have a cracked screen before I gave it to my children and they started using it? No, but there you go. So the original iPad, if we take it out of the case, yeah, there's a bit of Velcro sound for you ASMR folks. It even had my name on it. So you can see there. Because I used to use this when I did announcing for the ice hockey. It's not going to power on because it used a 30-pin adapter. This is how old this was. This was out around the time of the iPhone 4 and 4S back in 2011, 2012, and it had the 30-pin adapter. So the old-school Apple, the big rectangle one that you could shove in there before Lightning and, of course, before USB-C that we have now. But the original iPad had the curvy look, which was popular, which was a style at the time, and the big Apple logo on the back there. This was a 16 gigabyte model. So here I am now telling people, don't buy an iPad with less than 256 gigabytes of memory and storage. This one had 16 gigabytes. My iPad now has 16 gigabytes of RAM, of memory. This had 16 gigabytes of storage total. So it was a very different world that we lived in back in the day. But this thing was solid, solid as a rock, and big, giant, chunky chins and bezels and everything going on there. The home button, the power button, a headphone jack. Hallelujah, right? Your volume up and down and your little lock switch there. So I need to plug this one back in. Let me know in the comments or in the chat here if you're watching live if I should... get a 30-pin cable and fire this bad boy up, because this would have GarageBand version 2 on it, maybe 2.1. It's got iOS 9, I think, is the latest version you can get on this. So it's very outdated, but it could be interesting. Could be a fun one. Definitely not going to be able to export the video. I'm going to have to get my camera and take video of the screen, because I don't think that's coming out anywhere. So that was my first iPad, and I loved it. Didn't create much music on it, though. Like I said, I had the original GarageBand on there. It wasn't until I got an iPhone 6S Plus that I actually started using GarageBand a lot more with the bigger screen, and I'd plug in my audio interface and my microphones and headphones into the iPhone. I'd record. There's a little cupboard over there you can't see off camera, even though I'm here at the Apple campus, of course. But I would record onto my iPhone, and I'd go into the cupboard early in the morning before anyone was awake, and I'd do my recordings and my vocals and stuff. If you listen to my very first EP that I released, the reason I'm singing a little bit inside myself is I was really embarrassed. Hands up, who still gets embarrassed singing in front of people, even when it's your family, which seems a bit weird, doesn't it? So that was my first iPad. I then moved on to this one. Now, a lot of people love this because they love this cover, and this is still my favorite iPad cover of all time. Yes, this one's also had a bad result there. It has been smashed. So it also has a screen cracking situation going on there. This one is definitely still working as well. Also hasn't been charged. Didn't really think this through. Maybe I'll charge this while I do the podcast and we could have a look at it afterwards. But you saw, this is the iPad Air. In fact, this is the Air 2. And what happened is that Apple started their obsession with making things thin and light. And we'll talk about that when we talk about the updates they announced yesterday. But my goodness, is thin and light at the front of their mind on all this stuff? Absolutely, it is. But this one is this was my workhorse. So this is what recorded a lot of stuff for me. My entire album in 2018 was recorded on this iPad. Yeah, this one right here. So I did an album called Selfish Aware. Every track was recorded in GarageBand on my iPad, and it was this iPad that I used to record it. So yeah, same sort of stylings there. But again, the chins, the bezels are starting to come in a little bit. Still had the home button, still had the headphone jack, and of course the volume rockers and sliders there. And this case, my friends, and again, apologies to those that aren't watching the version, but the case that I'm holding here, it had a hard sort of plastic backing, and you'd slid it into a little silicon pouch, and then it had a hard foldable, positionable front part. And I loved this case so much, I bought one for my mum for her iPad mini, which I still got hanging around here somewhere. I should have brought the mini out, actually, because mum got a new iPad mini and I've got her old one, which is the mini 2, I think. So this is my iPad Air 2, and it spent a lot of time sitting up on its stand, being plugged into my Steinberg UR12 back in the day, recording vocals, recording guitars, and doing a bloody good job until I let my children start using it and it got smashed. Keep your iPads away from your kids, folks. Well, if you want them to get, if you want them to survive. I've got an in-between one. This is an iPad Air 1. And the reason, if you're watching on the video, that you can't see this at the moment is it's in one of these big cases. And it's green. It's the exact same green as my green screen. And I just thought it was pretty funny to bring this out and show it. So we'll pop it out. If I can pop it out of the case. No, I can't get it out of the case. It looks very similar to the iPad Air 2, which, by the way, I'm going to plug into a lightning cable that I have handy here on the desk of the studio and power that one up. Then Apple said, we see you professionals out there. You want a professional iPad. We're going to release something called the iPad Pro. Now, when the first iPad Pro was released, I didn't buy one. I couldn't afford one. I was still using my iPad Air 2 and it was working fine. It was fine. So I kept using my iPad Air 2 for quite a few years after that. But the Pro, the iPad Pro was here. Sorry, just changing some charging things here on the desk. The iPad Pro was here and suddenly we had professionals starting to use iPads for things like music and video editing and graphics work. The Apple Pencil was just around the corner, not on that first Pro, but a couple of Pros later. So I didn't really get into the Pro until I finally, I've got to move some things here because I wasn't prepared. I finally took the plunge and said, I need to get an iPad Pro. If I'm going to show folks how to create, record and release their best music, I need my own iPad Pro. And I bought one. I bought the iPad Pro. This is the 2020 model, the last model that used the A series chip as opposed to the new M series. So this is the A12Z or Z Bionic chip. I had 512 gig of storage. Remembering my first one, 16 gig. Oh, and my iPad Air 2, 64 gig. So I've gone 16 to 64 to 512. And this thing, I'm not using it at the moment because of what I'll talk about in a moment. But this thing is great. And I did go the 11-inch. I did regret it because I realized I should have gone the extra, shelled out the extra few dollars for the 12.9-inch version because it just was a little on the small side for what I needed because I got the big chungus fingers. So, you know, dialing in settings and things with GarageBand and then especially Logic Pro for iPad when that came out, yeah, this thing is a little bit small for that sort of thing. And at the time, I'm like, yep, that's cool. I had it in a case. And then the Magic Keyboard came out. And you know what I said? I says to myself, no way I'm buying a Magic Keyboard. $500. And a few people, my good friend Jade Starr among them, got the Magic Keyboard and said, "Johns," they said, "you must buy the Magic Keyboard. The Magic Keyboard is delightful. It simplifies your process. It makes things super, super duper easy, and you should get one." So I got one. $500 and yeah, it is and was great. So it meant that I could just take my iPad with me wherever I went, snap it shut, it was good to go. And in fact, when I went to the US last year, this is all I took. So this was my everything. And I did fine. I didn't need a laptop. I didn't need anything apart from my iPad Pro. And it did a great job while I was away. So that's sort of the history of me with iPads, until it wasn't. Until last year, when Apple released their last iPad, which was the iPad M2, iPad Pro M2. And it was around the time that Logic Pro for iPad was released. And I was lucky enough to, and I still have it here, it's nearly at the end of its loan period, but I was lucky enough to get an iPad supplied by Apple. So they have let me borrow this one. This is a 12.9-inch iPad M2. And if you've watched any of the content, any of the videos that I've done in the last year, every single one of them has been done using that. And when I say using that, not only demonstrating what I'm doing on that, but actually editing on that as well. So I edit in LumaFusion, which is an iPad and iPhone app. Sometimes I use my iPhone. More often than not, it's my iPad. And everything I record, even if I record using my webcam like I'm doing now, this podcast you're listening to right now, the footage will be thrown onto my iPad, and that's where I will edit it and then upload it to YouTube. So I do use iPad for pretty much everything. And so I think you know, people say, "Well, Apple load you that stuff, and that, what value do they get out of it?" I'm hoping that they're happy that that a year later, so a 12-month loan, probably in the vicinity of 500 shows and videos that have been done on this channel, and have all been done using the iPad. And I've shown you. Look, I'm talking about it right now. I'm showing my love for iPad. And look, the criticisms come that people will say, "But you're drinking the Kool-Aid, you're drinking the Apple Kool-Aid. Why do you like iPads so much? Don't you realize, don't you know how much cheaper it would be to buy a PC? Don't you know how much easier it is to create music using a Mac?" Yeah, probably. But do I love the form factor of the iPad? Do I love being able to be portable and carrying my stuff around? Do I love that I don't have to be anchored to a certain location, that if I'm not here in the studio, but I still want to work on a song, I can grab my iPad and go. I can walk out into the kitchen. I can go to a cafe and sit there and create music. Can't plug headphones in because I've got no headphone jack. But outside of that, unless I take the iPad Air 2, maybe I need to do that more in the future. But I don't, that doesn't run the latest iOS, so I don't think that would work. So that is my iPad history to date. Will there be a next chapter? Well, that's what we're going to talk about in just a jiffy. Need a quick cough. No editing on this one. You get all of it, warts and all, on this one. So what happened? What happened this week? Well, Apple have changed a few things. They've let loose. They had a let loose event, and they've launched themselves some new iPads. A new iPad Air with the M2 chip, a new iPad Pro with M4. So yeah, how quickly has that happened? We've gone from the iPad 2020. So we're 2024 now, and in 2020, I bought this brand new spanking iPad Pro with an A12ZZ Bionic processor, and I thought it was the bee's knees. Until Apple brought out the M1 iPad Pro, then the M2 iPad Pro, and now the M4 iPad Pro. So my poor iPad Pro is now four generations old, virtually not even on the comparison site anymore, because a lot of things we're finally starting to see things that use the power of the M series chip. For instance, what was also announced at the event was Logic Pro for iPad and Final Cut Pro for iPads versions 2s. That was a weird way of pluralizing that. But brand new versions of Logic Pro for iPad and Final Cut for iPad that are starting to use the machine learning, starting to use AI. Yes, Apple is starting to say AI. They're starting to use the power of these processors, because the biggest criticism and the reason people were saying, "Why aren't you updating from your iPad Air 2? I was saying, I use GarageBand. The iPad Air 2 is fine, until it wasn't, until I started getting optimizing performance and I started running out of storage space. That's when I bought the iPad Pro. But the iPad Pro 2020, it still does absolutely everything for me. I could do another entire album on GarageBand and even in Logic Pro for iPad, and my 2020 iPad Pro would absolutely crush it. No problems, no issues. However, we're getting to the point now where we're getting these new things, the new session musicians that they've just announced for Logic Pro for iPad, the new Chromaglow plugin that uses AI to emulate some hardware gear, the new stem splitter that can grab a stereo wave file and split it out into vocals, drums, bass, and other instruments. We're starting to see the actual power of M1, M2, and now M4 being utilized. And for those that say, well, you know, iPad's always been the poor second cousin to the Mac, Apple are showing differently now. It's the first time that the iPad has led the charge in terms of the best chip. Not the iPhone, not the Mac. No, it's the iPad. The iPad is what's getting the M4 processor. And we will see how that goes, because this is being recorded before we're getting all the reviews. So I'm sure that there's many people that have the iPad in their hot little hands right now that are doing reviews or preparing reviews as we speak. And as soon as those iPads hit the market, we'll find out. People will be doing benchmark testing. They'll be saying it. There'll be people holding up. Some of them will be saying, best iPad ever. And some will be holding up with a shocked look going, don't buy this. Yeah, you're going to get both. So just, you know it, you know it, I know it, you're going to get those videos. But we'll see how it goes. So let's just go through quickly what is new, because then we're going to talk about the future. So that's the past, present, and the future. So as it stands right now, the current lineup, your iPad lineup, like the basketball game, no? All right, so the new lineup, let's start at the very top, iPad Pro. M4, 13-inch and 11-inch OLED displays. Now, this has changed from the 12.9-inch to the 13-inch. Just because? Interesting. Some are saying it's because the Magic Keyboards, they want to sell new Magic Keyboards. But there's a situation with that that I'll talk about in a moment as well. We have the two that has 256 gigabytes up to 2 terabytes, starts at $999. For the 11-inch, $1,299 for the 13-inch. That's in US Freedom Eagle bucks. We then also have the iPad Air. That's an M2, and that's the 11-inch and the 13-inch. That's from 128 gigabytes, which I wouldn't recommend. If you're going to get an iPad Air, get at least 512 or 256. The 128, yeah, I don't think that's enough storage space in 2024. That's $599 or $799 for the 13-inch. First time that we've had an iPad Air in two different sizes. The iPad Vanilla, the original iPad, which is the 10th generation iPad, so Apple kept the 9th generation iPad in their lineup. That's the last one that had the Lightning port. The generation 10 is the one that had the landscape camera and had the USB-C. That's now been reduced in price to $349. So that is your sort of third option. And the iPad mini is still version 6. Version 6 is good, doesn't have the M-series processor in there, but it does have USB-C. So it's good, but it needs an update. It needs to get an M-series chip. So we're hoping we will see a mini update. So I guess it is a little, like, we're seeing more reason why the Air exists. I was concerned for a while there that there really wasn't a clear reason that the iPad Air existed. I mean, in the old days, the iPad Air was like the thinner, lighter, sleeker kind of iPad, and it was like the one-up from the iPad. But then the iPad Pro came in, and it kind of changed things up. So the iPad Air has still been sitting around that middle mark, but it sort of floated between just better than an iPad right up to where it is now, which is almost as good as an iPad Pro. In fact, quick shopping tip if you're in the market for a new iPad. Why would you buy the iPad Pro when the iPad Air is so good? There's a couple of key differences. So for starters, if you get the iPad Air, it's basically last year's iPad Pro. You're getting an M2 chip. You're getting 11-inch or 13-inch screen. You're not getting the ability to have 2 terabytes of storage, but you can have 1 terabyte. Here's where the difference is. The iPad Air only comes with 8 gigabytes of RAM. There is no 16 gigabyte RAM option. So if you need the extra power, if you need more memory, and as more machine learning and AI things start being used, you probably will need a little more. So if you are using real high-end pro apps, then you want the pro. The other main reason is the screen. So you're getting that OLED screen now, which is very nice looking. We haven't seen it. Well, I haven't seen it in person yet. But judging by what Apple are telling me, it's going to be good. Whereas you don't get that OLED screen. The other thing is with the Air, only get USB-C connectivity. You don't get Thunderbolt. Now, what does that mean? To most people, not much. But if you want to hook up, say, a Thunderbolt terabyte external storage to your iPad, yeah, you want to go with the Pro because that's going to give you that speed. Say you want to start editing video on an external device as opposed to doing it internally, you're going to need something with some speed and you'll need that Thunderbolt port. But if I just said those three things and none of them resonated with you, get the Air. Really, M2 chip, 8 gigabytes of RAM, and, you know, put a terabyte in it. Absolutely. And you can now get the 11-inch or the 13-inch. So that'll be interesting because that was the other thing. When people said, I don't want the Air because I don't want the 10.9-inch screen. I don't want the smaller screen. I want a large screen iPad. Well, now you can get a large screen iPad Air and you don't have to fork over the Pro dollars, which I think is interesting. And again, it kind of fills that gap now because you start at $349 with the very good. By the way, if you're creating in GarageBand and you're just, you know, plugging in an audio interface and recording things, you're not going to use a pile of external effects, or you're not going to use Logic Pro, the new version with all the bells and whistles. Yeah, iPad, 10th generation, $349. Go buy one. Why not? Because it's definitely, and especially if you're using, say you're running an older, you know, 5th or 6th generation iPad, it is a significant upgrade. And you're going to USB-C, which has a lot of advantages for iPad as well. So we also got new Magic Keyboards. We got new Magic Keyboard with a function row that's going to set you back $349 and $399, depending which one you're getting. It looks good. It's got a bigger touchpad. That's been one of the criticisms of the current Magic Keyboard is the touchpads are so small, and I can definitely vouch for that. Even on the 12.9-inch, the touchpad is quite small. Doesn't have a whole lot of space. So bigger touchpad on the new one. And the new Apple Pencil. Didn't talk much about Apple Pencil because, to be honest, as an audio creator, it's not really something I use a heap. Sure, if I'm doing something really finicky, some sort of design work or even something in audio where I need that precision touch, I might reach for the Pencil every now and then. But for the most part, it sits at 100% charge on top of my iPad. It's there and I can use it if I want to, but it doesn't actually. I think it's very much for folks that are designing and doing things on the screen a lot that aren't just big push buttons and turning dials and putting knobs up and down. In fact, I sometimes find only having one is hard because I'm often grabbing a couple of sliders or grabbing a couple of knobs. Yes. The visuals. If you're listening on the audio, you've got to be here for the visuals. But I often grab a couple of knobs and give them a twiddle while I'm recording or while I'm mixing or while I'm playing around with an effect to learn what it does. So yeah, having my fingers as opposed to a pencil works better for me. But we've got a new pencil and it looks pretty cool. It's got the barrel roll, it's got the squeeze, it's got a double tap. You can do a bunch of different stuff with it. So that's where we're at now. And as I said, unfortunately for mini fans, I'm not a mini fan. Like, let's just talk about that briefly. I'm not a mini fan. The main reason is that my phone, my current phone, is 6.7 inches. The screen is a 6.7 inch screen. And the iPad mini is 8 inches, or 8.1, I think, or 8.3. It's not much bigger. It's like an inch and a half bigger than my phone. So, yeah, like, I get it. If you're using a smaller phone, for instance, maybe having an iPad mini is good. You can just throw it in your bag and you can have it with you and you can do your thing. For me personally, I don't see it in my workflow because I'm going to do stuff on my phone or I'm going to do things on my iPad. I don't really need that in-between device, but maybe you do. Let me know. Where are my iPad mini fans at? Yeah, let me know in the chat. Give us a shout and let us know. iPad mini for the Winnie. We haven't talked about things like colours, like the iPad Air has added colours. The Pro doesn't have colours, but it's gone from slate grey to slate black, which is a thing. And we haven't talked a lot about software, but an interesting thing happened a few years ago. Apple wanted to make iPad more like a desktop experience. And they started using words like desktop class browser. So Safari is a desktop class browser for your iPad. And they actually split out the iPad OS from the iOS. So the older devices were just running iOS. So iOS 9, 10, 11, once it kind of got around that mark, they split it to iOS and iPad OS and started adding iPad-only features. There aren't a heap of them, but they're there. Things like the slide over, the split screen view, as I said, the browser, changes to the Files app. There are some things you can now do on your iPad. Not everything, though. And that's where I wanted to get to now. I wanted to talk about the future. And I've kind of buried the lead here because what a lot of people talk about when they talk about iPads, and especially now that the iPad Pro has the M4 chip, a faster, a more capable chip than the latest MacBooks, MacBook Pros, Mac Pro, every Mac you can think of. And people are saying, they say, if you've got an iPad with a keyboard and a trackpad that's running an M series chip, why can't we have a touchscreen Mac? Or why can't we run Mac OS on our iPads? And for a lot of us, that's kind of the future that we'd love. You know how I mentioned a while back that I took this as my only device, didn't take a computer with me? Well, that worked 90% of the time. The 10% of the time it didn't was things like the website of airlines, was things like trying to order tickets. There's just something about that desktop experience. It was editing images in Canva. Like, there's just some things that don't quite translate. You can't quite do live streaming, recording things like this, plugging in a webcam and doing a live stream. You can't really do it on an iPad. Audio, the audio system on an iPad is great, except when you want it to do something like have multiple inputs and multiple outputs and the sort of routing you can do with a Mac or a PC. So I still need a desktop or a laptop experience. I'm not all in on iPad. I know some people that went all in on iPad. I've chatted to them online, and it seems almost like they're doing it not out of spite, but there's a stubbornness streak there. They're like, I like the fact that I can harness it and I can make it do what I want. And look, I'm all for that. I use GarageBand because I love that I kind of have to hack my way through it sometimes. It's not always going to just work out of the box. Sometimes you need to use some hacks and some workarounds. And I'm all about that. But I just don't think that in its current state, the iPad's capable of that. And it does sadden me, because I think there's nothing really stopping that from being the case. Because let's be honest, what is the iPad but a MacBook? Like, once you've got the iPad on a keyboard, is it not just a MacBook with a touchscreen? Yeah, it wasn't, because it used to not have the right guts. But now it's got the same integrated silicon that you'd have in your MacBook. It's almost identical. Yeah, drives and ports and all that sort of thing. Yes, you need to live the dongle life. Yeah, I get all of that. But yeah, so what do you think? Are we going to get a touchscreen Mac ever? Are we going to get Mac OS runnable? Because I don't know about you, but if I could hold down a combination of buttons and my iPad Pro booted into Mac OS, I'd use that on the regular. Yeah, I wouldn't take a laptop to the cafe. I'd take my iPad, because I know that if I needed to do one of those annoying tasks that required a desktop browser or required me to be logged into Mac OS as opposed to iPad OS, then I'd be able to do it. Or does iPad OS 18 just blow us all away? Because the future is, we've got WWDC, the Worldwide Developers Conference, just around the corner. Does Apple come out, now that they've got a desktop class processor in their desktop class iPad Pro with an amazing keyboard, with a big trackpad and with function keys? It is so close to a Mac now. Maybe what Apple do is they say, we've brought some of the best features of Mac OS and we've added them to iPad OS 18. I wouldn't be surprised if that's the push. They've definitely been very firm on the fact that they want to keep iPadOS and macOS separate, but does that mean there's not a little wiggle room there to be able to add some features? So improvements to the file system. Who wants improvements to the file system in iPadOS? Yes, please. The files, the way files are managed is one of the biggest challenges that we have. Improvements to the browser. Yes, please. You basically, we need the browser to pretend it's a Mac, because simple things like logging into my YouTube studio to like update a thumbnail or update some end screens on videos, it just doesn't work the same way. You have to go in and you tell it and you insist that you're using a desktop browser, but YouTube still says, we'd love to open the app. We'd love to give you an app-based experience for this. No, YouTube, please. Let me pretend that my iPad is a Mac and let me use the desktop experience. So the future looks really bright for iPad. I still love creating. I still record on my iPad. People are like, you've got a Mac now. You've got Logic on Mac. You paid. I did. I paid $299 Australian to buy Logic Pro on the Mac. Don't use it. Why? Because I just love using my iPad. I love the portability. I love the touch screen. I love the fact that I can get in there with my fingers and twiddle those knobs. And it just feels cool. Sometimes it's okay to just feel cool. And with USB-C now, I did mention I'd come back to that later. With USB-C and Thunderbolt now, I can do cool things. If you've been watching the show, you would have been seeing me doing cool things like being able to project my screen and have the audio come through. So I can do a live stream now and I can be recording in GarageBand or in Logic Pro for iPad. And I can, it just goes. It just works. I can display through HDMI. I can plug in multiple USB devices. It just works. Apple, it just works. Maybe I should sell them that as a line. Maybe they should use that. It just worked. They did. All right, before we finish up, I'm going to, I've plugged this in and I just heard it bong. So does that mean it's working? Oh, it is. And bear in mind that my children were the last ones to use this. So there it is. Playing havoc with the green screen again. But we'll see if I can log into this sucker. And it's still all here. It's got 5% battery, so it'll probably cark it in just a moment. Searching for GarageBand is taking a very long time, but here's the last version of GarageBand that I had on this. It's a blank screen. So remember how I said I upgraded to a Pro? Yeah, actually, I think it's just gone flat. I'm going to plug that back in. What do you think? Did you like this little trip down memory lane? Do you have memories of iPad? Did you humiliate it when it first was launched? Did you say, there's no way this is a thing? There's no way this is going to be a thing? Or were you optimistic from the first moment you saw it? Did you fall in love with it and think, magic piece of glass, you make my life complete? Or were you somewhere in between? Thanks for watching or listening to this episode of the Studio Live Today podcast. If you would like to get more, all you need to do is go to studiolivetoday.com, go to YouTube and search Studio Live Today. You'll find me, or go to studiolivetoday.com/podcast, or look for me in your pod catcher of choice. What do they all say? Wherever you get your podcasts, that's where I'll be. As we say at the end of each and every show around here, please be kind to yourself, be kind to others, keep creating, and I'll see you next time right here on the Studio Live Today podcast. Bye for now.